You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Nights, coming to you from hornfm.com, from the Fight Night Suburbia Studios, as we've been preempted by UT Basketball. Congrats to the Horns, they beat Florida A&M by 24. But we're back, we couldn't let you go with the big weekend that we've got going up, coming ahead. So I am Eddie Cross, I'm your host. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And with me, as almost always, in the Fight Night Suburbia Studios, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, how's it going?
It's going very well, Eddie. But I think you need to tell the people, you are not at the Fight Night Suburbia Studios. Where are you?
I'm at the Fight Night North Austin Studio.
Okay.
A.K.A. my living room.
All right. So that's right. So we're preempted tonight. Texas basketball, they get the win. Fortunately, we don't get to go on the air, but that's okay. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got a great show tonight. We've got Justin Gaethje coming up. But, Eddie, before we get to that, you were very hyped last week about being able to come back home and go to the Texas football game, the Texas Tech game. How are you feeling about that?
Jordan, you are the ultimate troll.
How about the fact that you guys were beating Duke as well?
Seriously?
How about Gonzaga?
You're going to do this to me. What bowl game is BYU going to?
We're not going to a bowl game. I mean, we're not going to a bowl game. And Texas, I wouldn't be really proud.
Season was.
I wouldn't be proud of the bowl game that Texas is going to either.
I was going to go until I saw the egg that they laid against Tech.
Yeah, man, that was unfortunate.
See it again.
And really unfortunate. Like, they had a good chance to beat Duke. Man, that was tough.
I was actually watching that on my phone, standing in the concession line at the football stadium. And then once I actually went into the stadium, I lost my connection.
Yeah.
So I missed the whole overtime.
So, Eddie, I think my favorite part of the weekend, though, I saw a tweet from you about the Bears and Eagles game about the announcers. Do you remember what you said?
I believe I said something to the effect of the announcers were treating it like it was just a showcase for the Eagles. But in fairness, the score was 0-0 at the time.
Okay.
The Bears were holding their own for those first 5 minutes of the first quarter.
And what did it end up being?
31-3.
And a showcase for the Eagles.
A mauling.
A showcase for the Eagles. I saw that, and I saw your
ultimate troll mode tonight.
I know. I saw your tweet, and I love that. I was like, I think I probably saw it later after I looked at the score because I wasn't watching any games. And I came back, and I saw, and then I looked to see what the score was, and it made me chuckle. That's what you posted before. I mean, they absolutely slaughtered the Bears. And then you had your bear down hashtag.
You had to hear it. You really had to hear it. The Bears were planning on going along, and it was pretty even. And something would happen for the Eagles, and they would say, they'd say all about the guy that did it and everything he did in the last week. And then the Bears would make a good play, and I'm like, tackle for loss by the Bears. And I'm like, that's it? That's all we get? It's like we're not even here.
You seem pretty heartbroken about that.
And then it turned into a sparring match. I'm just glad I didn't drive all the way downtown to watch it.
Okay, yeah, I can imagine. You go to your Bears bar. I mean, are there even Bears fans anymore that will show their face?
Oh, yeah, man. We're a proud bunch.
I mean, not proud enough that you'd go to the downtown to watch it, but a proud bunch.
The weather was bad. It was cold.
All right.
I'm a Texas Bear.
Okay. Well, Eddie, I was in Destin, Florida last week. I was in Destin, Florida. I got back. I mean, I was driving all day Saturday, so I wasn't able to catch up live with Kelvin Gastelum versus Michael Bisping. Kelvin Gastelum defeats.
Wait. You say that like you would have done it anyway.
I like big fights. That's a meaningful fight. Now, the rest of the card, not meaningful at all.
Yeah.
Zabit Magomedsharipov, he's meaningful, and he's going to be off of Fight Pass soon. I think we should probably, he called out Yair Rodriguez after that win over Shimon Moraes. He's someone that's a prospect, that's someone to look out for. And I think we'll probably get him off of Fight Pass next because we want to see him fighting soon. But going back to Kelvin Gastelum, Michael Bisping.
Oh, man, 2.5 minutes.
I mean, yeah, it was rough. The way that Kelvin, it's tough for me to come back, Eddie, and say like, oh, man, Michael Bisping shouldn't have taken that fight. And the reason I say that is because I didn't say it last week, right? If I would have said
people have been saying it for weeks, like not understanding why he would take it. I'm like, and I realize it's mostly a pride thing.
No, it's not a pride thing, Eddie. It's a 500. There's 500,000 reasons why he would take that.
Well, I was getting to that part. Yeah, but also, you know, he could have got that, you know, a month later, you know, and then still had time to recover in time for his fight in England. But it seemed like he was the only one that thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, no.
And I understand his feeling. He's a fighter. That's how he actually made it to the top, was taking the short notice fight. But that was for a championship.
Do you think that his accountant also thought it was a good idea?
I'm sure his agent likes it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, knowing he's not going to get many more paydays from him.
But I have a hard time coming back and looking at it in the way where we're upset because of how it turned out. You know, had Michael Bisping won on short notice, we wouldn't be saying anything like this. And so I have a hard time for me coming out and being like, oh, I'm so mad that Michael Bisping was allowed to take this fight. Yeah, it probably wasn't a good idea. But
no, I'm not upset that he was allowed to take the fight. Because, like I said, football players go through much worse, you know, week after week. You know, it's like 14 car crashes a game. Whereas he gets like, you know, what, 2 months to prepare for something normally. So physically, it doesn't bother me. It's the mental aspect, the emotional aspect, the weight cut. Those things are hard to duplicate that quick again. And it's hard on your body. It's hard on your mind. You can't focus as well. You can't get yourself emotionally ready for it again like that. Like I said, and back to football players, they've been doing it since like junior high, and they still have things called trap games where they haven't gotten their emotions ready again, or they got their emotions ready too soon. And not being able to reset himself like that is what really was my issue with it.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a valid argument. I think a lot of people are also upset that, you know, while, you know, George St. Pierre choked him out, he did land some shots, and there's a good shot chance that he was, you know, concussed at some point. To come back and get concussed again, and the way he went down, you know, he crumpled. Kelvin Gastelum, he dodges a couple of shots and comes back and drops him. And this is like the crumple drop, you know,
where he goes. Hook, wasn't it?
What's that? Yeah, when he just goes like straight down though.
But another one of those coming from that right eye where he can't see it coming.
Exactly. That's another thing, you know. And so Michael Bisping, before he took this fight, he said that he wanted a fight in Manchester in March. We know that's, you know, almost 3.5-4 months away.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? Are you okay with him fighting in March? Or, you know, a lot of people have been calling and say, hey, don't fight in March. You know, the UFC will be back in Manchester at some point.
I'm definitely okay with it. Because if you look at how much you fought against St. Pierre, what was it, 3 rounds? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like half a round here.
Yeah, but remember, the guy was off for a full year after Dan Henderson.
Yeah. Which
the guy's not like, he's not always super active.
In a full
year,
he's basically gone 4 rounds. So yeah, I'm okay with him having another fight. Now, I don't want it to be, you know, in January.
Yeah.
But in March, I'm okay with it physically and emotionally.
Who do you want to see him fight? Because now I look at it and I'm like, nah, do I want him to fight Yoel Romero? Of course I do not. I do not want to see a fight with Luke Rockhold, Yoel Romero,
really
anyone, Chris Weidman, you know, maybe Vitor Belfort.
David French?
That's not meaningful. I think for
England and it's Michael Bisping, so it'll be big.
No, I agree with you there, but I think it needs to be meaningful to Michael Bisping. And meaningful to Michael Bisping is vindicating that Vitor Belfort loss. I think that would be a great one.
That would be a great one, definitely.
So,
but like, also for Michael Bisping, if it's not something like that, he just wants a showcase.
Yeah, no, I think you definitely have to give him someone who is at the bottom, not the bottom, maybe bottom of the rankings. I don't want to see him, you know, go out on his back in Manchester. So let's flip that over to Kelvin Gastelum. He gets the win. He now has wins over, Tim Kennedy. He has that win over Vitor Belfort, which got overturned. That loss to Chris Weidman, and now a win over the former champion, you know, just 2 weeks ago, Michael Bisping. Where do you put Kelvin Gastelum?
Kelvin Gastelum is like right there. Is like maybe a fight or two at the most away from a championship slot.
And it's a guy who still
got him like number 6 or 7 right now.
Yeah, he still does not want to like commit to staying at middleweight. He's still talking that I could go back down. And fight at welterweight, which is crazy.
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with that Chris Weidman fight. And he was just so outsized that it's kind of understandable. Well, when you see that the champs are both former welterweights, it's got to make him think that he can do it if he just gets the right matchups and the right timing.
Yeah, so you're right. Kelvin Gastelum moved to sixth. Michael Bisping dropped down to seventh.
Yeah, if you look at the people above Gastelum, you had Weidman, who's basically a light heavyweight.
Yep, just defeated him.
Jacare, who's a pretty big dude himself. Rockhold's a beast. Romero's huge. And then you've got at the top, the champ and interim champ were both former welterweights.
Yeah.
So it'll be a tough road to hoe for him to get up there.
That's why, you know, I actually like him in a fight against Whitaker or fight against GSP because those are both welterweights. But everyone, you know, right, everyone else, they're kind of monsters at middleweight for him.
Yeah, they are. And so that's why he won't commit. But when you see the fact that he still needed a towel to get down to 186.
And did you see him do the towel trick on there?
Did he try the towel trick?
Yeah, he didn't put it on top. He put it like halfway down, and you could see his hand kind of pinch on it and pull the towel down a little bit. So.
Yeah, so I'm like, he just doesn't have the discipline still to make 170 if he can't even make 186.
Yeah, which is crazy. Like you would think like, hey, you've got to commit to middleweight if you are having problems, you know, even making that weight. You got to say at least you're not going to go down to welterweight. So.
Exactly.
All right. I got actually a surprise for you. All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is not normally something we do in round one, but here we go.
All right.
All right. That's right. We are going to play a little game of Take It or Leave It. Now, we usually play Take It or Leave It in our, you know, in our second segment. We've got Justin Gaethje coming up to talk about his fight this weekend against Eddie Alvarez. So I wanted to make sure that we got in some of the news, right? This is Take It or Leave It. This is kind of like our buy and sell. I'm going to give you a topic, Eddie, and I want you to either take it, you agree with it, or leave it, you don't agree with it, okay?
All right.
All right. So last week on Twitter, UFC lightweight contender Khabib Nurmagomedov said that he was offered an interim title fight against Tony Ferguson at UFC 219 in Las Vegas, but that Tony turned it down. Take it or leave it. Tony Ferguson should have taken that fight to beef up UFC 219.
I will leave it. You know, that fight helps Khabib. That fight helps the UFC. That fight doesn't necessarily help Tony. And he's already got the interim belt. He wants that next shot with Conor. So why risk a fight right now? You could have the huge one coming up next year.
And not only just and huge in like a big fight and for the real title, but also the payday, right? I mean, this is, you get pay-per-view points. You know that if you get a fight against Conor, that's a guaranteed, you know, 1.5 million buys. You get a piece of that as a champion. Yeah, Tony would be crazy to take that fight at this point when Khabib has dropped out of the fight before. Tony's also dropped out as well. We know that. But if I was Tony Ferguson, I wouldn't sign to fight anybody except for Conor McGregor.
Plus, Tony and Conor have the same management. So you've got to think he's got some kind of inside information as to whether or not Conor's actually going to fight again.
Yeah, well, we will talk about Conor in a little bit, okay?
All right.
I mean, Take It or Leave It would not be complete without some topics on Conor McGregor, okay?
We're going to have to bring back the Conor hype train.
Wow, I don't think it ever left, Eddie. All right, last week, Bellator announced the matchups for the heavyweight tournament. Take It or Leave It, the winner is currently in the tournament right now.
I am going to take it.
Okay.
Because I am putting my money right now, Ryan Bader.
Okay, that's good. And actually, I will make a pick as well. But if you remember back in the Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix, Daniel Cormier, who was an alternate, ended up winning the whole thing. So you never know what happens when you have these year-long tournaments. You know, they would love to have one of their guys win it, but you never know. So right now, the matchups are Chael Sonnen versus Rampage Jackson. That happens on January 20th. At Bellator 192. That's the same card that Rory McDonald's on, fighting Diego Lima. Pretty good card. Then you've got Matt Mitrione versus Roy Nelson. That's Bellator 194, February 16th. They're on opposite sides of the bracket. Now, on the bottom side of the Chael Rampage bracket, you've got Fedor fighting Frank Mir. And I liked your, what'd you say that he looks like an old, what was it?
Frank Mir looks like a Batman villain in this picture.
That's like the worst possible picture I could imagine of Frank Mir right there.
Yeah, it's like a mix of Two-Face and a Joker or something. I don't know what's going on there. Yeah,
they're fighting in March, and then you've got Ryan Bader versus King Mo Muhammad Lawal in happening in May. So let's just go over that real quick, Eddie. What do you think about that Chael Rampage Jackson fight? Who do you get the winner out of that?
Unfortunately for Rampage, I'm going to pick Chael because Rampage is bad fighting wrestlers. He's hard. It's hard for him to get off his back. He's going to be he's going to come in at heavyweight, fat and out of shape. And Chael's going to take him down and keep him down.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's what Chael's game plan is going to be. My only thought process is that at the weight that Rampage comes in at, he's going to be much heavier and much stronger than Chael Sonnen. And I don't know if Chael's going to be able to keep him down, but I think he's going to frustrate him and continue to try to keep him down. So I will actually go with Chael there as well.
Yeah, it's all about leverage. That's what wrestling is about, more than strength.
Yep, that's true.
And Chael is a master at that.
All right, let's drop down in that one. You got Fedor Emelianenko versus Frank Mir.
Now, this is probably the fight I'm most excited about in this whole tournament.
And both guys got a little bit past their prime.
Yeah, a little past their prime, but two great former champions with an amazing skill set. You know, Frank Mir has beefed up a lot since he got his face pounded in by Brock Lesnar. So he's got the punching power now to go along with that jiu-jitsu. But he hasn't fought in forever.
I just hope he doesn't have King Rumi.
By Matt Mitrione.
That's true. I hope he doesn't have kangaroo meat before this fight. You know, that's what happened last time.
You know what? I hope he does. You know what? Get the kangaroo meat. Let Fedor have some, too.
Yeah. I think Fedor wins this fight. I think Fedor advances. Frank Mir, for those reasons that you just mentioned, he hasn't fought in a while. This will be his first fight in Bellator after coming... after being away because of that failed drug test, because of what they say was kangaroo meat. But I'm going to give this one to Fedor. So I think I have Chael and Fedor fighting in the semifinals.
I'm going to go ahead and take Frank Mir because he's still a Jackson Winklejohn, and they are master game planners. Fedor's got weaknesses. He's old. He's only beat tomato cans in the last 5 years. I'm going to go with Mir.
Okay. All right. So then let's go jump on the other side. Matt Mitrione versus Roy Nelson. This is a rematch. A Matt Mitrione, Roy Nelson fight previously. I believe that Roy Nelson got the win the first time they fought. And it was in a small cage, which Matt Mitrione still kind of takes umbrage with. But, you know, what do you say? What do you see in the rematch?
I'm going to go with Meathead Mitrione. He's too young, too fast. And I think this time he'll be too smart to get into just the ridiculous exchanges.
Okay. I'm going to go with Matt Mitrione as well. This is a chance for him to get revenge. And, you know, we saw Javi Ayala. That's who Roy Nelson lost to last time. I don't think that Javi Ayala and Matt Mitrione are on the same level. And then finally, Ryan Bader versus King Mo. I'm also going to go with Ryan Bader. You had mentioned that you thought that he could be, you know, the winner of everything. So we will see. Is it going to be, are you Frank Mir over Chael Sonnen?
I do. Okay. Just because Frank Mir is – Chael Sonnen does not want to go to the ground with Frank Mir.
Yeah.
So that means we've got, wow, Mir versus Bader. And I just picked Bader? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I actually have Mitrione over Fedor. Faster. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump on. Bobby Lashley and Roy McDonald have both offered to be alternates. Shane Carwin had said something about being an alternate, but then he came out today and kind of officially retired and said he's not coming back. So, interesting.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Bobby because I was going to say the only way to me that someone not in the tournament wins is if they bring in Bobby Lashley as an alternate.
Jack Swagger.
He's not ready.
All right. So last weekend in Singapore.
Gets Bobby Lashley somewhere towards the end of the year.
Okay. Last weekend in Singapore, Ben Askren, he won his final fight in 1FC against Shinya Aoki, and he wants to focus on his wrestling academies. Now, he says he's retired unless an opportunity comes up to prove that he is the best welterweight in the world. He won't fight Tyron Woodley because they are former teammates and friends. So that really means George St. Pierre. Take it or leave it, we see Ben Askren fight again.
If he holds true to what he said, I have to leave it. Because it's not his skill that kept him out of the UFC. It was his mouth and his relationship with Dana White. He won't shut up. Dana hates him. Although Askren's not really a boring fighter anymore. He gets lots of finishes. Well, he just finished his last one in the first round. He just won't shut up. So we're not going to see him definitely fight in the UFC.
So, and George isn't going anywhere, right?
It'd have to be George St. Pierre fighting outside of the UFC, yeah. And that won't be for a while.
That's not happening. All right. A fighter received jail time last week in South Korea for his role in a UFC fight-fixing scandal. Now, take it or leave it, Eddie. Is this the first time a UFC athlete has been involved in fight-fixing? Now, I'm not asking you to tell me who you think it was, but take it or leave it.
I got to leave it. The world is just too corrupt. You know, it's been in boxing forever. There's no way it could have escaped mixed martial arts. Or mixed martial arts could have escaped it.
Yeah. Yep. You never know. So let me tell you what happened here, Eddie. Tae Hun Bang was sentenced to 10 months by the Seoul Central District Korea court for taking $92,000 to throw a fight against Leo Kunz at UFC Fight Night 79 back in November 2015. This happened in Seoul. Now, according to the Korea Herald, there's the three people that also gave him money. They also got jail terms. Now, he was supposed to lose the first two rounds and then ultimately the fight to Kunz. He got cold feet. He got the money, but he got cold feet, and he ended up winning a split decision, which is never good if you agree to throw a fight and then you don't. Then, you know, I'm surprised the guy's still alive, really. But his change of heart came down to the UFC seeing the change of the betting line, and they came to him and said, look, if you're trying anything funny, like, that's a big problem. And he decided to not throw the fight. So,
wait, why did he get jail time? He didn't throw the fight.
He did because he took the money. And they can prove that he took the money for his role in a fight-fixing scandal. So
he took the money but didn't actually do anything illegal for it.
Yes, at the end of the day. But he did conspire to fight-fixing.
But he didn't fight-fix.
Well, he's going to jail. So.
Yes.
All right. Allegedly. Now, this is allegedly. Conor McGregor got into a fight over the weekend in a pub with an Irish mobster. Now, Dana White says it probably didn't happen because Conor is so popular that if something would have happened, there would be some evidence to confirm it. Now, take it or leave it. Do you believe the story is true?
You know, I believe Dana's got a point, because if Conor was in some kind of altercation in a bar, there would be cell phone footage immediately. You can't go anywhere without everything getting taped. So I believe somebody was into something, but I have a hard time believing it was Conor just because of his popularity and how prevalent cell phone cameras are.
That's true. You think you would see something. Now, this kind of reminds me, Eddie. So Bill Simmons, sports guy, ESPN, now of The Ringer, he coined the phrase the Tyson Zone. And talking about Mike Tyson, but this is when a celebrity behavior becomes so insane that there's literally nothing that they could do that you would no longer like shock or surprise you, right?
Right.
Take it or leave it, Conor McGregor has now entered the Tyson Zone.
I don't think so. I mean, he's done some boneheaded stuff, but so far nothing like, you know, hurtful or illegal. Well, he slapped a Bellator official, but other than that, he really hasn't hurt anyone or done anything, you know, illegal.
But if you think about like this story, like you could see how this story could be true.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, ESPN financial reporter Darren Rovell confirmed that Fox offered the UFC $200 million for its upcoming TV rights. Now, we know that the UFC is asking for, you know, close to $450 million. Take it or leave it, the UFC will get more than $325 million a year for its TV rights.
I am going to take it. Sitting up here right now, watching my TV, there are back-to-back episodes of The Ultimate Fighter. They're showing last week's right now. Hopefully soon we'll find out if Roxanne Modafari or Sarge Sajira, whatever her name is going to fight in the finale Friday. There is so much UFC on Fox Sports 1 that they cannot risk losing it. It'll be over 300, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
They'll meet somewhere in the middle.
All right.
What was their first deal? It was like 150?
Yeah, it was a lot less than the UFC is asking for, just a ton more. And you know, Fox came in at $200 million. I'm just really interested to see it. If it's, you know, if it's Fox or if it's somebody else, I'd love to see them go, you know, maybe more with an Amazon, with a Netflix, and just kind of see how, I know they already have the Fight Pass, but how do you have more, you know, content that's delivered in different ways to get out to your fans?
Yeah, I want to see them kind of mix it up on different channels. So maybe some on Fox, some on ESPN.
Kind of like baseball or kind of like basketball or football or other sports that go on multiple channels.
Exactly. So like, maybe Fox gets the smaller cards. ESPN gets, maybe they split the fight nights between Fox Sports and ESPN. And Big Fox gets maybe six cards a year instead of four.
Yeah. What's tough about that, Eddie, is when it comes down to who was fighting on what cards and what card is more popular than this card, and hey, Fox is getting leftovers and ESPN is getting, you know, bigger fights. It's just so tough because there's so few fighters that really sell. Obviously, they're going to be reserved for pay-per-view, but you've got to figure out, like, how do you work that into a contract?
Well, it's kind of hard. It's like kind of the way the NFL does it now. Like, so many of the Thursday night, Monday night games are crap. But that's what you get on ESPN. Sorry, that's just how it is. And then the normal games, the bigger games, are on Sundays.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we mentioned earlier, Eddie, Dana White had talked about Conor McGregor's incident in alleged incident, but that was during a media scrum yesterday in Las Vegas. They covered a ton of topics. One of those topics was he talked about Nate Diaz versus Tyron Woodley as a possible fight at UFC 219. We talked about that last week. He says, Dana says that the fight was actually never offered, and someone got a little bit overzealous in the office and put some information out. Now, take it or leave it, the fight was actually offered, and Dana White is just trying to cover up the fact that they couldn't get a deal done with Nate Diaz.
Take it, take it, take it. You know, Tyron Woodley said he had already signed it. Nate Diaz's manager is saying that he's out, he's like working out again. But I still said it was never going to happen because it was a dumb fight for Nate to take. And I'm right. Nate apparently agrees. And now Tyron Woodley is having shoulder surgery.
Yep. No, and Tyron Woodley said that, you know, Dana's delusional and he always tries to demote him as a fighter. I don't know if it's that Nate agrees. I just don't think it's, you know, came to the right dollar amount. Nate wants $15 million or so.
It would have to be a huge amount for Nate to take this, risk losing some of his shine from the Conor fight, and also fight a bigger guy who's such a great wrestler who will be able to hold him down for 5 rounds.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, the Diaz brothers hate that.
Yeah. Dana White spent about an hour with the media yesterday. Anything else that you found interesting from that interview with Dana?
Somewhere he said he'd be, quote-unquote, super pissed if GSP vacated the middleweight title. And that kind of rang a little bit hypocritical to me.
Why is that?
If GSP tries to do what, say, Conor McGregor has done, then Dana would be upset. I guarantee you, if GSP played hardball and tried to get the McGregor fight, it would happen.
I think that's true, and I thought that was interesting that in that he did say he'd be upset, and they said that the only reason that he let him come back and fight for the middleweight title is that if he agreed to defend it. I bet you they never made an agreement with Conor that said, hey, if we let you fight for the lightweight championship, you'll defend it right away. Because he still had the featherweight title as well. I think they assumed that he'd be defending the featherweight title. But after he said that he'd be upset, he did mention, like, what if he doesn't? And then he talked about, you know, fighting at welterweight and other places. So I don't think it's totally out of the question. I thought it was interesting. He talked about CM Punk. He's going to be coming to Detroit this weekend to talk about another possible fight. He did mention that...
He'll be on Tuesday Night Contenders.
Well, that could be.
That'd be close for it.
Yeah. Sean O'Malley from Tuesday Night Contenders. He was actually a pretty good prospect. I saw him out there in Las Vegas. He's fighting this weekend. He did mention they actually did punish Conor for his antics in Bellator. They were going to have him fight at UFC 219. And no matter what Audie says, that they did punish him. He's not fighting there. He says that he's not looking for Conor to vacate. They're working on a new contract for him. But he's not sure if Conor will ever fight since he now has $100 million. And I thought that was interesting because Dana White now has $300 million. And, you know, he says that, you know, it's really hard for a guy to get out of bed after he's made $100 million. What about the guy who just made $300 million?
And we see he's already mailing in and lying out of his teeth all the time anyway. Like, you can't trust the thing Dana White says these days. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a promoter. That's a promoter's job.
I believe it that Conor was actually punished by being taken off 219.
I think they were thinking about it, but I think that's a good way for them to say that he was punished. They couldn't come to an agreement.
I know they wanted it, but I don't believe it was ever a done deal or even close to being a done deal, especially when he comes out and says right after that, I don't know if he's ever going to fight again.
Yeah. Last thing I saw, he mentioned Ronda Rousey still in USADA testing, but the last I saw, and still getting tested, but I don't know if that's actually true. She is in USADA testing. She is on the list, but it comes back and it says like how long it's been since they've been tested. And I felt like Ronda was like the highest person, the longest time since that they had been tested on there. So, she may still be in the pool, but, USADA's not showing up at her house.
Dude, You imagine showing up at Ronda Rousey's house with her and Travis Brown, and it's like beating on their door and saying, hey, give me your pee.
We should test them both. Just go in there and get a twofer.
Yeah.
All right, let me give you some new fights. We didn't think this fight was going to materialize. Volkan Ozdemir, he gets the title fight against Daniel Cormier at UFC 220 in Boston, January 20th. That's the main event.
Let me say, does the UFC have any kind of outside the cage standards anymore?
Well, let's remember, guilty till or innocent till proven guilty. So
tell that to John Jones.
Well, I mean, John Jones has been proven guilty on multiple times.
Yeah, so. But after he after his hit and run, he wasn't put into a main event right after that.
Who did he fight that wasn't a main event?
I didn't say it didn't happen. I just said it didn't happen right afterwards.
He did fight right away, right after. When he was eligible to fight, he has not fought in a main event.
Yeah, when he was eligible. It took a while.
To clear it up?
This is pretty quick. That's like, oh, he knocked a guy unconscious for 15 minutes?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? And we actually didn't get this right. This happened in like August when this right. – and I think we were all under the assumption that this happened the weekend before.
Yeah, we're just hearing about it.
I just don't know, like, what do you do? Like, if he wins – and something does happen. Are you going to strip him of the belt? Because that's a problem.
Normally, they let the investigation take its course before you do something and put a guy into a main event like this.
Yeah.
But in this case, they're just going, oh, no, it's okay.
Yeah, I feel like they did do some investigation with Anthony Johnson when he had some of his issues, and they determined that, you know, it wasn't going to materialize. I don't know. We'll see. But so Volkan Ozdemir, he gets the title fight. I know you were really pulling for Jimmy Manoa, but it's not going to happen.
This just goes to show Daniel Cormier that you can't pull these tricks to knock people out of title fights and keep your belt. You know what? It didn't work. No time Ozdemir is still going to be fighting. And now you don't get to just rush right into the big money fight with Gustafsson.
Well, okay. All right. Next, you've got Derek Brunson fighting Jacare Souza. This can be a great fight. UFC on Fox 27, North Carolina, January 27th. You got Hector Lombard versus CB Dolloway, UFC 222. That's in Las Vegas on March 3rd. Ricardo Lamas, Josh Emmett is stepping in for Jose Aldo. That's happening on December 16th. Emmett's out of Team Alpha Male in Sacramento. Okay. Gokhan Saki is out of his fight against Khalil Roundtree at UFC 219.
He
did just fight, and he was supposed to be fighting in another fight. And that fight out is Mikhail Olichik. That's a tough one. Olichik. He's fighting on against Roundtree. And then finally, Thiago Santos is fighting Anthony Smith Eddie. That's the new fights, and that's take it or leave it.
All right. Well, you're listening to Fight Night on HornFM.com. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com. Joining us now in the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline is former World Series of Fighting lightweight champion and current UFC lightweight contender Justin the Highlight Gaethje. He's fighting Eddie Alvarez this Saturday night at UFC 218. Justin, welcome to Fight Night.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
We're great. Glad to have you here. How are you feeling with only a few days left until the fight?
I feel good.
So, Justin, this is your second fight in the UFC. Has your preparation been any different from when your first fight back in July?
Nope. It's no different from my first professional fight back in 2010 or 11, 12, or whatever it was.
Okay.
It's all preparation, so just go in and then, you know, work as hard as I can. Focus on my own skill set. I never focus on my opponent. So, yeah, it's worked so far, so I'm not going to fix it if it's not broken.
Perfect. Well, Justin, you mentioned your opponent, Eddie Alvarez. You've actually been coaching opposite of him on the latest season of The Ultimate Fighter on Fox Sports 1 to crown a new UFC women's flyweight champion. How was that experience for you going to Las Vegas and being around Eddie for so long?
It was cool. I mean, I was right out of a fight. So, you know, I would have loved to have some time to kind of wind down or, are relaxed because, you know, it's very, you're super tired after the fight. You can't sleep. So yeah, it was cool. But I loved, you know, working with eight athletes that were vying for a world title. And even after some of them lost, you know, they never stopped showing up, never stopped wanting to get better. But it was refreshing.
Perfect. You've got to be satisfied with how your coaching went, with how your season went. You know, we don't know yet. The show airs tonight, but we're looking like it could be an all-team Gaethje finale. So were you surprised at all, though, when they asked you to coach? You mentioned just coming off of a fight. You know, you're relatively new in the UFC.
Yeah, I would say so.
And did you have any kind of expectations of being around Eddie Alvarez for so much and for so long during that and knowing that you were going to fight him at the end?
No, I didn't have any expectations. I was just, you know, like I just fought. So he could have been a complete asshole and I would not have really cared or return fire because I had no animosity towards anyone. I just won the biggest fight of my life. So I was just, you know, enjoying my time.
Justin, you have a fighting style that fans love, but also Eddie also has a fighting style that fans love. But is there anything that Eddie does that concerns you? And I know you mentioned already that you don't worry about your opponents, but I'm sure you've seen his fights.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's talking a big game, but he's been around the game for a long time. He's a wise guy and he has a smart coach. So I assume that they're going to try and take me down and hold me against the fence. But, you know, he's talking like his recent interviews, he's saying he's going to come out here and fight with me. So I'm hoping that that's the case.
Yeah, you know, so he came out this week and he mentioned that, you know, although that the UFC lightweight title is not up for grabs, he mentioned that the UFC's most violent man is up for grabs. But is Eddie on your level when it comes to violence?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many knockouts he has out of 28 wins. But I think I got about an 85% knockout rate. So you got to match that if you want to be considered more violent than I am.
And that's true. And people love that about you every single time you're out there, Justin. You show the heart that you have. You show that, you know, how much you wanted. That fight with Michael Johnson, he came into that fight not respecting you. Do you feel that Eddie is showing you that respect that you feel like you deserve going into this fight?
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody's invincible. We could all get knocked out at any moment. So yeah, Michael was a fool too. For one, you never talk down about your opponent because when he whoops your ass, now you take his spot. So now he's a C-League fighter. I actually made him drop weight class.
He did.
So he's not even a lightweight anymore. I took his soul in that weight class.
That's right. You're listening to the former World Series of Fighting lightweight champion and UFC lightweight contender Justin Gaethje, who's fighting Eddie Alvarez this Saturday night at UFC 218. Now, earlier on in this training camp, Justin, you mentioned that you wanted to get Eddie out, or you thought you'd get Eddie out early in the fight. Now, is that your goal for all your opponents, or is this just something that you see specifically that you can do against Eddie?
As a fighter, we always want to get out of there as quick as possible. You know, the quicker the fight, the less risk of injury. But, I prepare for it to go. You know, I fought five-round fights for my last probably 10 fights. So, yeah, I mean, I would love to get him out of there as fast as possible, but I'm ready for 15 minutes of hard work.
This is a stacked card. You've got Jose Aldo fighting Max Holloway for his rematch against Holloway's title. You've got Francis Ngannou versus Alistair Overeem. But really, most people are looking forward to your fight the most against Eddie. Why do you think people are excited about this fight?
Well, I mean, one big factor is the Ultimate Fighter show. I mean, they've seen us coaching against each other, and now people want to see us fight. So I think that's one of the factors. And then, yeah, I mean, we all know how Eddie can fight. If I rock him, he's going to come out there and he's going to start swinging crazy. And, you know, and they know how I fight. So, I mean, on paper, this could be, one of the best. It's a great matchup for both of us to kind of build our brand. And, yeah, I mean, one of us has to win, one of us has to lose. I think we're both – everyone knows we're going to both go in there and give max effort, and people appreciate that.
Yeah, Eddie's come out in interviews and said that he's changed the way he's training for this, that, you know, you go out in fights and you usually – you don't care. It looks like you don't care. You're just kind of swinging, and you're willing to take that knockout to give that knockout, and he's training that way. Do you believe him, or do you think he's just going to kind of try to come in and wrestle you?
I want to believe him. I really do, but I don't know. He'll definitely be shooting for takedowns. I can promise you that. If he rocks me, I'll be shooting for takedowns too. So
this is obviously one of the fights I'm looking forward to the most. We followed your career in World Series of Fighting, and we followed Eddie, obviously, through Bellator and now in the UFC, and this should be a great fight. And on a great night of fights, is there any other fights on the card, Justin, that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking, you know, Henry Zudo's from Arizona, as I am, so I've always been a big fan of his. And then, yeah, I mean, it's an honor to fight on, you know, Jose Aldo's a legend. Max Holloway is, you know, the best 145-pound fighter in the world right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's an honor to fight and open up the card for those guys.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You train out right now in Colorado. You train with Trevor Whitman. UFC strawweight champion Rose Namajunas is out there. I know, Justin, you were excited when she won. We all saw your video. But how has it been since she's been back and you've been around her as you've been preparing for this fight?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's been going good. You know, I've seen her a couple times. And, yeah, I mean, it's really inspiring to see her go out there and believe in herself, believe in her skills, believe in her coaching and all that. You know, all that's refreshing and very, especially because I'm so close. I was in the corner, you know, for her first bid at the title when she lost. So I'd be able to see the growth, and it's awesome to just be somewhat a part of that.
Is it motivating for you? I mean, you've seen her, first off, lose in that attempt when you were in the corner, and now she's come back and won that title. It's got to be motivating for you as you're trying to get to that UFC title.
Yeah, absolutely. A fight to fight. You know, anybody can win a fight at any given moment, really. And, yeah, just really it's just how much self-belief can play a factor in this game. So, you know, she believed in herself a lot more the second time she fought for the fight than the first time.
I agree. You mentioned, you know, anyone can win a fight. Becoming a champion is important, obviously, to you. The current situation in the UFC lightweight division, you have Conor McGregor, who hasn't defended his title in over a year. You have Tony Ferguson, the interim champion, asking for him to defend or vacate. If you win on Saturday night, are you going to call out either Tony Ferguson or Conor McGregor?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be the best in the world. The only way to do that is to fight the best in the world. And, you know, as long as I win on Friday, I'll definitely be trying to move forward in the, you know, as far as my next fight. Tony Ferguson, I would love to fight him next, yes, as long as I get a big win. I'll take the winner of Khabib and Edson if I have to do that first. So whatever route they want me to take, it doesn't matter.
That's an endearing quality that you have, Justin, is that you are willing to fight. You wear your heart on your sleeve, and you have that heart in every single fight. We can't wait for the fight this Saturday night at UFC 218. Justin, best of luck. Thanks so much for joining us on Fight Night, and we'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right, the champ is definitely here. Max Holloway takes on Jose Aldo this weekend at UFC 218. You're listening to Fight Night tonight on hornfm.com. Eddie, we talked about this a while ago. We are super pumped for UFC 218. We thought this was going to be a great card. Frankie Edgar was supposed to be fighting Max Holloway originally on the card. We know he gets injured. Jose Aldo steps back in, gets a rematch against Max Holloway. We know that we have Alistair Overeem versus Francis Ngannou, Henry Cejudo versus Sergio Pettis. That's a great flyweight fight. Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje, who we just talked to. And then opening the card, Tisha Torres versus the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson. Are you already watching the challenge?
The what?
The challenge on MTV with that Michelle Waterson's on.
What? No. Yeah. I didn't know she was on MTV.
Missing out on that. So...
Man, it's a generational thing. I can't do MTV anymore, I guess.
The Miz is hosting it, so.
What?
Yeah. So, Eddie, what do you think about this fight? Do you like this fight better now that it's Aldo versus Holloway, or did you like it Edgar versus Holloway before?
I loved Edgar Holloway. Just because it was something we haven't seen. It's the it's such a clash of new guard versus old guard. Not that Aldo is an old guard, but he's only 31, and we just saw that fight. So seeing Edgar, beating Edgar would take Holloway into a whole new dimension, I thought.
But what about two wins over Jose Aldo? I mean, how does that cement a victory or cement a legacy for someone like Max Holloway?
Well, I thought the fight, they were going to meet again anyway, and seeing as long, well, not even as long, he's been the only person to ever hold the featherweight belt, although definitely deserved an immediate rematch. So I'm definitely fine with it happening. So beating him twice
Connor,
in a row.
Connor McGregor also held the featherweight title.
He held the belt. I don't know if he held the championship. You know, if you don't defend it, you're not the true champ.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair statement.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was a title holder for a long time without doing anything with it. True.
So we're saying that Max Holloway, not the champion.
No, I'm saying Holloway, definitely the champion.
Hasn't defended it yet.
Well, he's going to defend it.
Okay.
He had every plan to defend it, as opposed to Connor, who never planned to go back down to featherweight again, despite everything he ever says.
All right. Max Holloway, Jose Aldo. This fight is not like, I don't know, Max Holloway is, you know, it's a 3-1 favorite right now. It's not like this fight is a, you know, a walk in the park for Holloway.
I'm surprised it's 3-1.
He wasn't.
I've been going back and forth in my mind on this one all day long.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, he blew him out of the water for the entire fight.
Right. He basically lost his first two rounds. And then Aldo gassed like Aldo tends to do sometimes. And, you know, Holloway just finished him.
Yeah. But the confidence that Holloway would have got from beating Jose Aldo in Brazil has to be, you know, a clear-cut advantage in this rematch. The one thing, though, that I look at is I agree with you, Eddie. I've been going both ways on this. I think back to the Frankie Edgar, BJ Penn fight. The first one, it was very close. I actually thought that BJ Penn did enough to beat Frankie Edgar. I didn't think that Frankie Edgar should have won that fight and won the title. And in the rematch, I thought that BJ Penn would actually come back and get the win. That's not the case in any way. Frankie Edgar looked fantastic in that fight. And really, BJ did not come back and looking you know, at the same level and the same BJ when he fought against Frankie Edgar that second time. And so it makes me think, you know, I think that Jose Aldo should come back and, you know, be able to win this fight and really take back that belt that he's had a hand on or you know, really owned since the inception of the featherweight division. But then again, Max Holloway, the confidence that he would have got from beating Jose Aldo in Brazil, coming out here, who even knows what kind of fancy tie he's going to be wearing this time? I mean, that's going to build confidence as well.
And the fact that he's improving so much, like between every fight right now. So you've got that. And then on the other hand, you didn't see all of Aldo's weapons in the last fight. He only threw one leg kick. And there's so much that he could do that he doesn't do, or especially didn't do then. So, and we haven't seen a hungry Jose Aldo in forever. I mean, not since maybe his WEC days.
What do you think about the short camp? So we know that Jose Aldo, he was supposed to fight on December 16th. So there's actually moving this up 2 weeks. Does a shorter camp, does that have any, you know, do you put any weight in that in a shorter weight cut and a shorter camp for Max Holloway?
I definitely do. Like I said earlier, Aldo's had gassing out problems. Basically, his conditioning hasn't always been up to par. So having a short weight cut, a short camp, could definitely affect him adversely.
Good thing is that these guys have fought. And so it's not like you have to really, you know, you're not coming in the first time on a short camp. You know what you're getting into because you fought before. The crazy thing about Max Holloway, still only 25 years old. And he's just getting better. And so that's one of the things I also look at is while Jose Aldo is probably on the downswing of his career, he's talked about retiring. He's talked about going out and starting some other new career. He's 31, but it feels like it's an old 31. Although Max Holloway has a ton of fights in the UFC as well. So it's not like these guys both have miles on them, but I do think that Max Holloway is at a point where he can grow and he can continue to get better in this fight. And so I'm really looking forward to this. This is a great main event. I agree. I would have liked to see Frankie Edgar because it would have been some new blood, and it would have also given us an opportunity to know where we go next. Now, if that Cub Swanson-Brian Ortega fight that's happening in a couple of weeks, you know, if let's say Cub Swanson gets that win, he still may not get a title shot against the winner if it's you know, coming out of this fight. You got to think.
If Frankie Edgar's eye heals up fast enough, he could jump right back in.
Yeah, you got to think that. If Jose Aldo, though, if Aldo gets the win, you've got to think that Frankie Edgar is not getting another title shot. He's going to get skipped over. And that would be good for Cub Swanson. He would probably get that shot against Jose Aldo. If Holloway wins, you would think that Frankie Edgar, right back in there, going to get an opportunity. So
yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Anything else you want to say about the main event?
Man, it's just so evenly matched. It's so hard to pick between these two.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Like, why we've been talking, I've gone back and forth like three times.
Okay, well, we will make our picks in a little bit. But Alistair Overeem, Francis Ngannou, man, this is another great fight, and you've got to expect fireworks. And this, while it's not a guaranteed showcase fight for someone like Ngannou, if he can get a win over Alistair Overeem, that's a huge win, and it really sets him up for a title opportunity against Stipe Miocic. If he gets the win this weekend, you've got to think that unless Cain Velasquez has miraculously healed, Francis Ngannou is going to get the next title fight.
Yeah, I think actually the winner may get it either way, depending on all the mess that Fabricio Werdum's in.
Yeah, that and
the way that the UFC is just handing out title shots to people who have been accused of assault, there's no reason to think Werdum might not get it.
Well, no. Dana White, actually, one of the things he said is that he did not have a good relationship with Fabricio Werdum, that he hasn't talked to him for a while. He's not happy with him. Werdum did text him, though, and wants to talk to him. But you've got to think that, he doesn't have the greatest relationship with him. You know, they're probably not going to give him a shot. I would say that the winner of this gets it, but you got to think that the UFC would love to have Francis Ngannou win this fight and be someone that they can try to use and help get into that French market where MMA still illegal. Yeah. You have someone who is a French speaker who, not native French, he's from Cameroon, but someone who spent so much time there and could really help them get into and break into that market. And that's a great fight with Stipe Miocic versus Francis Ngannou.
Well, the funny thing is, he's basically a younger version of Alistair Overeem, who the UFC was drooling over putting the belt on him when he first came over. And the amount of money that they were giving him, just thinking he's going to walk in and take the belt and be this huge superstar, bodybuilder figure, action figure person that they could have the belt on and walk around as the baddest man on the planet. So you basically got old Overeem against young Overeem.
Yeah, Francis Ngannou is a specimen. You jump over to Overeem just real quick. He's got wins over Fabricio Werdum, Mark Hunt, that loss to Stipe Miocic. Before that, he beat Andrei Arlovski, Dos Santos, Roy Nelson, Stefan Struve. So he's really put together a very good run. I mean, that loss to Stipe hurts, but still, he's got some big key wins. And so having someone like Ngannou, this is a real big step up in competition. He beat Andrei Arlovski back in January. He hasn't fought since January.
Oh my God, the way he took him off his feet with that uppercut.
Yeah, no, that was impressive. But this is going to be a huge step up in competition. And this is like no one he's fought before. But Overeem, if he can get a signature win over Overeem, that would really put him in the driver's seat to get that title shot against Stipe Miocic. And the UFC, obviously, like we mentioned, would be loving for that to happen. And I really don't see any other way besides Cain Velasquez, and especially with Werdum and what he's kind of been doing and saying, that the UFC would not give a title shot to Francis Ngannou.
Oh, definitely.
Currently ranked fourth in the UFC rankings.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I don't know if it's better for Ngannou or worse that Overeem has been fighting, a little slower, a little more paced, a little smarter lately.
He can definitely get knocked out, and that's what Ngannou can do.
Yeah, but now that he's fighting a little smarter, a little slower, he's kind of picking his shots, moving around more. So that could be make it harder for Ngannou to catch him. Won't get caught up in those wild exchanges. But also, it kind of saves Ngannou from any kind of, as much pressure, as much chance of being knocked out himself.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, this should be another great fight. I can't imagine it goes to the judges, but you never know. Yeah. But this is that should be fun. And those are two great fights to cap off to end the night. Cejudo versus Pettis, or the guy who's going to watch TJ Dillashaw take their shot at Demetrius Johnson. This is a good fight, though. Demetrius Johnson, Cejudo ranked second, Pettis ranked fourth. This was a fight that was supposed to happen previously. Cejudo gets injured. Sergio Pettis beats Brandon Moreno in the meantime. Cejudo looks fantastic against Wilson Heiss. You've got to think that they've got to do something spectacular in order to get a fight with Demetrius Johnson.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Maybe not just in order to get it, but in order to ensure it. To say that there's no way that the UFC can deny him if they win it in spectacular fashion. if you just eke out a decision, there's going to be some discussions.
Yeah, you're probably not getting. The UFC is going to really try to push to get that fight with TJ Dillashaw, unless someone makes a stand and really calls out the champion.
Right.
Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje, that fight, you know, I told Justin earlier, you know, Eddie's coming out and said he wants the title of UFC's most violent man. And I asked Justin, I mean, can Eddie hang with him in this? And we're going to find out this week. I would love for this fight to be a 5-round main event somewhere, but I can't imagine that this fight would have gone 5 rounds anyways.
Well, you're not kidding there. And you know what? I want someone to make a UFC most violent title belt.
That would be amazing. You would think that maybe, why can't the WWE, Triple H, you know, they make belts like the next day for championship teams. How come someone can't get that belt out and bring it actually to Detroit and give it to the winner?
Because Triple H is going to leave a big WWE logo right in the middle. Yeah. That's why.
So wouldn't you want to see, like, the best would be give them the hardcore belt. Go get an old hardcore belt from WWE, and that's who should be getting. That's the belt they should have.
No, you make a hardcore belt out of an old UFC belt. You just take a hammer and you crack it, you know, give it that hardcore look. Maybe throw a little duct tape in there. Turn it into the most violent UFC fighter belt. How about that?
All right. Well, I'd be down with that. I think Justin Gaethje, you know, has a big claim on that previously. So I think he's walking in as the defending champion.
Well, the thing is, though, those kind of fights, Eddie Alvarez isn't really a stranger to him.
Nope. He knows how to brawl, too.
Yeah. He had plenty of those fights in Bellator with Michael Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a violent dude. So yeah. Eddie Alvarez can really do some damage.
That's why this fight is so great. And that's why this fight is just, I'm so hyped about it.
Yeah. What annoys me, though, is that it's not the main event Friday night. I'm sure they had some kind of clauses in their contracts coming over from Bellator and World Series of Fighting that they have to be in on pay-per-view.
Well, no, Justin Gaethje, his last fight was on the Tough Finale.
You're right. Well, maybe Alvarez has it.
Yeah.
But there's got to be some way they could have finagled the money to put these guys as the main event Friday night to give you an actual reason to watch the Tough Finale.
Eddie, do you know why they're putting it on Saturday night? Because they want you to pay $69.99 so you can watch this fight.
Or they could have used it with the eyeballs that you know it's going to bring in anyway to advertise 218 to get more people to go to the
I don't think they really care. I think they're worried about, you know, they know they're going to get paid. So they don't have to put these fights on Fox right now. So, and kicking off the main card on pay-per-view, you've got Tisha Torres versus Michelle Waterson, the karate hottie. Now, Michelle Waterson, is she coming off that loss to Rose, or she fought since then, Eddie?
I believe that was her last fight.
Okay, so she's coming off that loss. You've got, you know, this is a great fight for her to really kind of get back in and cement her name in the top of the, you know, the women's strawweight division. Tisha Torres is ranked 5th. Michelle Waterson ranked 6th right now. So no one is going to get a big jump based on a win, unless it's some sort of an emphatic win. Tisha Torres is coming off a win over Juliana Lima. That was back at the Tough Finale 25 finale back in July. A win off of against Beck Rawlings. And then she has a loss against the champion, Rose Namajunas. Michelle Waterson, like we just mentioned, yeah, her last fight, she lost to Rose Namajunas, but before that had a win over Paige VanZant and a win over Angela Magana, who's also fighting on this card. Anything else that you're looking forward to on in the Tisha Torres Michelle Waterson fight?
I'm interested to see if UFC is going to play up the fact that Tisha's wife, Rocky Pennington, had that four-wheeler accident.
Yeah, terrible.
She was going to fight for the belt herself at 135, and she had that accident. So you got to see what they're going to say about maybe her mental state, how that affected her, if it affected her training. You know, that's one thing that I was thinking of about how she's approaching the fight.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And I think that, you know, again,
I'm assuming all of Michelle's MTV stuff was in the summer.
Yeah, that thing it's already done. But I've got to think that, you know, again, unless someone does something spectacular, they are not going to jump Ioana and Jacek and get a title shot.
Oh, no. No. Even if they do something spectacular, I don't think they can jump Ioana.
You know, both have losses, both have good storylines against Rose Namajunas, but, you know, they'd have to do something big to get a title, to get a win To get that title fight against Nama Yunus. So,
basically, be one in a row for Waterson.
Yeah. Anything else? You know, Paul Felder, Charles Oliveira, that's fun. Yancy Medeiros, Alex Oliveira, Felice Herrig is on the card. Overall, this is a fun card, man. I'm looking forward to UFC 218. I'm pumped about it. But Eddie, are you ready to make some picks?
I'm also I know it's going to be on Fight Pass, but I do kind of want to see Angela Magana.
Yeah,
because she's been such a character, and I heard she had some personal issues, divorce and custody battles and things like that. So she kind of wasn't completely focused previously. That's why we haven't seen her for a while. So I'm kind of interested to see what she's got back with her. Or what she brings back with her. She's been living in Thailand for a while now. Or Thailand, Australia. She's been on the other side of the world training for a long time. So you'd think some of that would have to start coming out.
Yeah, we'll see. That'll be fun. She's kind of crazy, but, maybe there's a reason for that. So, Eddie, before we get to fight night picks, though, I want to do some football picks. And, you and I texted you this week that, for the most part, I think both of our Final Four for college football, there's a good chance that we go 0-4. We had Alabama. I had Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, and USC. Uh-huh. I believe you had OK State, USC, Alabama, and Ohio State as well.
Yeah, I think at some point I was switching USC to Stanford or the other way around.
Yeah,
or
you did look at that as well.
Stanford. Now, I did get the Pac-12 right. They're playing for the championship, but... then neither one of them sniffing the playoff.
Yeah, not one of them. And it's interesting, Bama, I think with a Ohio State win this week or a TCU win, Obama sneaks back in there and we get 1-4. Yeah. But, those teams, they own their destiny. Now, we're going to make some picks, Eddie. I will tell you right now, I'm showing no love for Conference USA, no love for the MAC, no love for the Southwestern Conference, and no love for the Mountain West where BYU was in. We're only going to the big ones, all right?
Just a hater. Oh, you know what? And before we do that, let me just mention, also Friday night, Bellator 189, the Women's Featherweight Championship, Julia Budd versus Arlene Blenko. There's some decent names on the card, including former UFC alum Sam Cecilia. And you got David Rickles versus Adam Piccolotti. That's a good fight. Saki Kato versus Chidi Njokuani. Another good fight. So that's also Friday night, conflicting with the Ultimate Fighter finale.
All right, well. If there's one thing that we'll always tell you is that you've got to watch the prelims. And so Eddie will be watching Bellator. He will give us a riveting review of it next week. And so thank you, Eddie, for that. So
I'm going to record that instead of the tough finale.
Okay. Well, hey, that's, own.
Some DVR issues. But by the way, if you're in San Antonio on Friday night, Combate Americas is going to be at Freeman Coliseum.
Well, I know. Are you getting paid by Combate America? I mean, it's like every week you have a Combate America idea.
Hey, don't be jealous. Don't be jealous.
Well,
let's make picks.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So, Ohio State versus Wisconsin, the Big Ten title.
Wisconsin wins and they're in, but I am going with O-H-I-O.
All right, that's good. I will go with Wisconsin then.
All right.
All right, Miami versus Clemson.
Never been a fan of the U. And I know watching their last two games, they are definitely beatable. Clemson's only lost because they had their quarterback was hurt against Syracuse, so I'm going Clemson.
All right, I will go with Clemson as well. Georgia versus Auburn.
Well, this was a tough one, but I am going with the better quarterback with Auburn.
All right, I'll go with Auburn as well. I think all these teams that own their destiny are going to win. I'm going Oklahoma over TCU.
Same here, unfortunately.
All right. They get into the playoff. Memphis versus UCF, Central Florida.
Scott Frost and the Central Florida Knights.
All right, I will go with that too. Stanford versus SC.
Well, I want to go Stanford so much, but USC pounded them in their last one, and I don't think having their quarterback back is going to make a 20-point difference. So, SC.
All right, I'm going to go with Stanford on that one. They've actually been more impressive. All right, Eddie, I got some breaking news for you.
SoCal guy not going with SoCal. Look at that.
Yep. All right, I got some breaking news. My brother actually went to Stanford, though. Nico Montano versus Ciara Eubanks. Who you got in the tough finale?
What?
Yes, breaking news.
man, I am in the middle of watching this, and they are not up to that part yet.
Yes, it it just finished airing in Canada, and I got that spoiler for you, Eddie.
Those dang Canadians.
There you go.
All right.
This makes it difficult for you now, huh?
Yeah, it does. Roxanne, I thought, would have run away with it.
Yeah.
And you would have loved to have her as a champ because she's so personable. She'd be great on the news shows, you know, the librarian look and just a happy warrior style, you know. How did Sajara win?
I have no idea.
Okay. But I know she had two finishes going into the finale or the semifinals here, so I'm going to go with Eubanks, especially taking out Roxanne. Yeah. Although Nico did take out Barb Hunter.
Exactly. I'm going to go with Nico, but let's be honest, Eddie. We're really going to go with Valentina Shevchenko. She's going to win it in her first fight for the title.
What, is that Paige VanZant?
No, this is going to be a transition. This is going to be a transition champion, just like Carla Esparza.
Yeah.
Tisha Torres versus Michelle Waterson.
Wait. So did we just make pick for the finale?
Yeah, you picked Sajara, and I picked Nico.
Okay, I got to cross out Roxanne there.
Okay.
But I'm still picking that side of the bracket, so yeah.
Yep.
Sajara. Okay.
All right, Tisha Torres, Michelle Waterson.
This is a tough one for me because I love them both, but I think there's just too much going on in Tisha's life right now to focus. I'm going to go with Michelle Waterson.
All right, I'm also going with Michelle Waterson. All right, Eddie Alvarez versus Justin, the Highlight Gaethje.
All right. Gaethje, to me.
I'm going with Gaethje, just so you know.
But the way he almost got floored by Michael Johnson, so I don't think he can survive Eddie Alvarez, too.
Okay. All right, I'm going with Justin Gaethje. Henry Cejudo versus Sergio Pettis.
I'd like it to be Pettis with a little more style, but I think Cejudo takes it with the wrestling.
All right, I'm going to go with Cejudo as well. Overeem versus Ngannou.
I'm going to say Ngannou finally catches him with a big right and floors it.
All right, I have Ngannou as well. In the main event, Max Holloway versus Jose Aldo.
Oh, man, I can't tell you how many times I've gone back and forth on this one. And I'm still not certain about making this pick. But basically, given the short camp, I got to go Holloway.
All right, so, Eddie, I was going to go Holloway. But I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go against you because I know you like that. So I'm going to go with Jose Aldo, Eddie. Guys, we went a little bit long tonight, and that's what happens, you know, when Texas, you know, postpones us. You know what else happens when they go over us?
What happens?
You just made the list.
You make the list. So, guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy football. Enjoy UFC 218, and we hope you have a great weekend, and we will see you next week.
Hey, tell your friends to subscribe.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.